No, it's more for you when if we do that stuff. You're not an awkward person, so we'll be fine.
Trying to deaden the sound.
Yeah, this is for
trying.
The sound quality.
It's a good job. That's your microphone. Person booked into body balance.
This is for you, sir.
What, there's a class going on right now?
Well, there will be at 8:15.
We've just been talking about you behind your back on Excellent. Episode one. Yeah, this is what we've got.
Yeah, like a
we've got a lapel on two lollipop sticks.
Oh, you passing it between you?
We've
Hello, everyone. How are we?
Maybe we are.
No.
This is like the soggy bottom boys. Let's
Why is
lean
your
in.
Leg through this chair?
This is the way. This is my gait.
Can you see?
This is my gait.
Show on the camera how you're sat on the chair. That's ridiculous.
Is this ridiculous? People.
What if there's a health and safety? If the fire alarm goes off, you're going to launch forward.
If there's a fire, I die. This is how it goes. But we can lean in like the soggy bottom boys and do this. And
the soggy bottom boys, man of constant sorrow.
Let's go.
I've been. Do you know this song?
I do not.
What's the film called?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay. Yes.
Have you seen this?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I can picture the opening sort of like picture on front of the DVD.
Yeah.
With them in there.
It's the three guys running.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. We like this.
But that's one of my favourite songs. I've tried to learn to play that on guitar so many times, and it's so hard. Mm. At the end of the song, he goes, "Ooh wee, I believe you did sell your soul to the devil, boy." And I believe he also sold his soul to the devil. To play that good, it's the only way. He met a shady gentleman at the crossroads. It's the only way.
Made some dabbling deals, that's it.
Because I've been playing guitar 15 years and there's no way I
can play
that. Yeah, there's not all the time, like every day. No. You need to sit closer.
I'm aware of this. We're gonna end up on top of each other.
Learn to do this. It's episode two. We're already on the recording.
Yay.
Right? Thank you for joining us.
How
no problem.
Are you?
No worries. How was episode one?
It was me and you talking randomly.
We just said nothing for half an hour, like usual, and hopefully it was entertaining to some people.
Excellent.
Many tangents, some sincerity in there. Some nice.
I was fully sincere. I don't know what you're doing.
I call you an elf.
That's true, but sometimes I am quite elf-like, in my opinion, so I'm not against this. Restart the timer.
We need to check that, because it is snowing today, and elves can walk on top of snow.
Oh, crikey.
Oh.
So...
If you float,
let's see if
about floating as well. How do I do this?
Oh, sorry, Ian.
Technical difficulties.
Like this, restart the timer. Hello.
Mind you, I already know it's not true because the amount of snow that you brought in with you this morning.
I'm sorry about
on your
that.
Shoes.
That was quite rude, wasn't it? Even Will's mum said something. She said, "Oh, you boys."
That's it.
I was like, "Sorry,
boys. Clear your shoes."
I came in looking like a little snowman.
Yeah.
Didn't I? Dressed for attention.
It's a nice snowy day today.
It's quite magical.
I like it.
I do like a bit of snow.
It's quiet in the gym. Mm. Isn't it?
Your wife is just going to pick your kids up because of the snow?
Yeah, the schools have closed. So, like, again, I don't think because of any major reason other than the teachers going, there's just about enough snow for us to have a day off. I think
that works.
Mostly.
They're measuring the snowfall outside. They've got a snow meter outside. It gets to a certain.
Oh, it's dangerous for the kids
it's
now.
Over.
Let's go and run, people. That's no work today.
You're an actual mountain goat, though, so I'm not surprised that you think it's fine.
Yes.
If you were perched on the side of a cliff, like on an extreme angle, I'd be like, this makes sense. Yeah. I wouldn't even glance twice. You're like, Tom.
Walking around the peak, you see, you look up, you're like, Tom, keep going.
I do have a story for every season.
Well, you were just telling me a story before the podcast, weren't you, about how you got stuck in a snowdrift running up Mam Tor in the snow in normal shoes.
And shorts.
I thought, good, you deserve it.
I did.
You deserve to get stuck in a snowdrift.
Tom loves running.
I deserved it and survived it. So,
that's
you know,
impressive.
If you're on Mam Tor, your leg seize up because you got stuck in snow and you get home all right, winning.
You do have many a wild story.
I have lots of wild stories, yeah.
Let's talk about a different wild story.
I was going to say, nice.
Do you have a time limit that you have to go by?
Well,
we were saying, Tom set aside 10 minutes for this and we're going to chew his ear off for at least 20 minutes.
Well.
You just see me take the microphone off in a bit.
Settle yourself down.
I did leave the radio downstairs, though, and said, I'm in a podcast for 10 to 15
that's
minutes.
Very polite of you, and we appreciate
it. If you want to go get the radio after that point, you can.
It's all right.
It's fine.
Right. They'll be all right.
They'll hold down the fort.
They'll hold down
it's
the fort.
Like
that's
the
it.
Manager.
They'll be okay. I know.
The staff, eh?
That's it.
So...
Another adventure, you were saying.
A different adventure has been the creation of this station.
Gym.
We tried to talk about that in episode one, didn't we? But we couldn't get to it. The conversation derailed
so many
times.
We ADHD'd our way around it a good couple of times, didn't we?
For sure.
Yeah.
We tried to get to the creation of this gym. And we started the story of you and Will starting at the gym group on the same day.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I was already there.
Yep.
We all met each other technically at the same time.
Yep.
We all had different goals and we've all achieved them.
There you go.
I wanted to be a nutritionist, run my own fat loss program. I've done that. You always said from day one you wanted your own gym.
Wanted my own gym,
You didn't know how it was going to go.
Nope.
It's turned out to be the best gym in the goddamn area.
Only just the best gym in Sheffield.
Only just?
Yeah.
Let's go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Isn't it? Let's
That's
go.
It. That's it.
And Tom could technically be biased there, but Connor and I are just speaking from a factual observatory point of view, best yeah. gym ever.
Yeah.
Best gym to me because of the staff and the members. Yes. You can debate about equipment, who's got this style of chest press and who's got that style. Yeah. Stop it. Don't even come at me with this. But it's the people.
It's that gravitated people like yourself and me who, arrogantly, I will say, are some of the best professionals in the world at what we do individually. So, of course, we've come to the best gym. And here we are. Do you want to tell us a bit in detail about your journey with getting here, with opening the place?
Oof, I say you only wanted me for 10 minutes.
I know.
Briefly, yes.
I would like to do a full episode, though, on like trials and tribulations.
Oh, 100%.
I'd like to go for a full 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah. What it takes on how to start a business like this. Yeah. Because it's 0 to 100 for me, in the sense that I didn't own a gym, and now I own a rather large gym with my amazing business partners. And I'm sure you'll have Phil in here. I'm sure you'll have Pierce in here.
Phil's episode 4 is coming on.
Brilliant. And so, you know, they'll give you their experience as well. Phil already owned a gym called Titanium Strength Gym. And Pierce was involved with him in that, was a shareholder in that. So they had a bit of experience of running a gym and doing that. But it wasn't just a gym. It was a massive undertaking of a building project first. So actually the journey is only just begun gym-wise. We're right at the start. Seventh week, I think, being open.
Yes, this week.
So the first journey was actually project managing a huge renovation project on a fire station that had been abandoned for 7 to 8 years.
Which was super exciting for you, but mainly presented itself as stress, didn't it?
I'm trying to remember just talking to the mic.
Stressful.
We need to get better at this.
We just be here all the time.
I would say the last 2 months of the build were stressful.
Yes, I agree.
The first sort of 6-ish, 7 months were just hard work, which is fine. I don't mind a bit of hard work. But yeah, definitely towards the end, it was like, wow, we've got a lot of things happening all at once. We've got a deadline. It's coming up. Are we going to get this actually finished and open?
Did you delay by 1 week on the opening?
1 week, yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Compared to how long did it take from start to end to change all this?
9 months.
So being 1 week off.
Mm. Not bad.
Really, really not
bad. And what filled me with a little bit of encouragement was at the same time of us doing this project, if you're from Sheffield, there was another project going on in town where they were making shipping containers into restaurants. Did you guys hear about this? And the disaster that
I didn't
was.
Know about the disaster.
The disaster?
I mean, they spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Behind Kelham Island?
No.
In the city centre.
Oh, the second one, the newer one than this. Yeah, I do know.
Which has now been all taken apart.
It's not there, is it? I've not heard.
I've been through the centre. This is why it didn't work, because we've both walked through it before and after and thought no different. The giant thing in the middle, we've both not noticed that it now isn't there.
Yeah. They were weird.
And I was comforted a little bit because they had obviously way, way more money than us, way more professionals who've done that sort of work before and were still having a terrible time at trying to get that project done because of planning permissions, and then they had other issues and so on and so forth. So we are really happy with how this all came to be. Now, obviously, and again, I think we're going to probably talk about this in future podcasts, but me and Phil are both Christians as well. So we'd put a lot of prayer into this beforehand, thinking, right, God, is this something you want us to do? And if so, we're going to need a lot of help because we are, and this isn't us being humble, this is just a genuine fact, we're totally underqualified for this project. like 100% underqualified.
Oh, yeah. Which is a fine place to attest from now that we're on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
And it's all worked.
Yes.
But yes.
So you're looking at, you know, for a project like we did, normally you'd have someone who would project manage it. You would have a construction team that they would lead.
And knew how to construct.
And had done this sort of thing before because it needs loads of planning, loads of sort of official planning as well, you know, sort of for the construction side. So, yeah, we were faced with already an impossible task for us ordinary folk to do without the qualifications, but went for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
And nailed it.
An absolute success.
So far, so good. Yeah, we've done no real paid advertising. We've done a little bit on Sheffield Online, and we've done maybe one or two pushes on Facebook, but it's all been organic, word of mouth.
Your organic social media is
organic
really
social media.
Good, though. People like it. It's interaction. Yeah. You've got the personal trainers on it. You've got you and Phil on it. You've got educational. You've got clips of classes going on. Mm. You've got little motivational bits. You do instructionals. Mm. It's all going on every day.
And you've done a really nice job of, as you've built the gym physically, you've built its ethos as well up around what you wanted it to be, RE, your faith and your beliefs and your give and take with the customer. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think like the morality of community comes from a biblical perspective. But actually, culturally, it's what's most appealing to people as well. And people just don't necessarily draw it from the same source.
Yeah.
So you've got the kind of pillars of our ethos, which are basically being a gym for everybody, which I think we've managed to do.
Mm-hmm. You definitely have managed to do that because you've got strong men,
yep.
You've got young guys, you've got lots of ladies.
Yes.
Like male to female, like proportionality ratio is really good.
Yep, about 50%, yep.
It's perfect,
yeah.
Especially for a gym that's got all the strong man and the bodybuilding mm-hmm. and the powerlifting equipment, but you've also got classes, spin
yep.
classes,
literally
males,
the
Zumba,
most diverse class.
Babies classes.
Yeah. Babies, kids classes.
Kids classes.
Yep.
Your youngest member, active member, is less than one.
Yes.
And your oldest is 90.
Correct. So we have
there isn't a broader range.
So we've nailed that one, pillar number one, a gym for everybody.
I love the team meeting as well when you said about people saying that you couldn't do that.
Yes, yeah, marketing companies, very successful marketing companies saying, no, that advertising sort of strategy is not going to work.
And we were like,
well, that's what we want. So that's what we're going to present.
Yeah.
And so that is through the social media leading up to the gym. You know, that was what we presented, was just me and Phil a long time. Also, TSG down the road, which is the old gym, that had that ethos as well of wanting to be a community, wanting to be a place of respect. And so, yeah, we're here for people's physical, mental, and social health and spiritual health. So it's kind of holistic in that sense. And that's why we have rooms like this, which is a community room, which is used for things like podcasts, but also our team meetings, and we're gonna have different community groups meeting in here, different charities using it. We have a food bank that we do, which has been amazing. Like, the members have taken on that amazingly. Well,
every
over
week
a ton
or
of food.
Two, you take down massive boxes, don't
it's
you?
It's too massive. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't fit it all in one car.
Keeps coming. So, you know, not only have we wanted that, but it's actualizing, and the members of the gym are behind it, which is what's exciting. They're behind that ethos. They like the fact that they can come somewhere where they are safe, where they're respected, where everyone's looked after, everyone's talked to. So you come into the cafe, you get welcomed.
You do.
You get a nice hello. You know, we it's in our DNA and will continue to be, in terms of being a gym that is excellent at fitness, excellent at sort of advice for health and well-being, but also just a place that just being here presents that anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's the most welcoming place, isn't it? Essentially, that's what you've created, and it's really, really nice. Mm. Like, when a member walks in that always comes here, people know their name, and they're like, oh, hello, welcome back. When a new member walks in the same, oh, hello, welcome.
Yeah.
Who are you, and what can we do for you?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Exactly.
Equal welcome for both people.
Yeah.
Really, really good. That's why it's the best gym to me.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, the people, the staff, even the members, because of that atmosphere, really friendly.
Yeah.
Really friendly.
We're going to talk about it more once you leave, but you have your nice options for members to get familiar with the staff, familiar with the kit, and then familiar with the idea of training and helping them with their goals and things as well. Do you want to just briefly mention those options?
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about this gym is that we're ever evolving and we're ever adding new things in, but really kind of listening to our members as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those where we've got multiple aspects you can get involved with. So you can book an exercise program, you could come for an induction, you could just speak to someone when you come in and just ask for advice, because we're always around and willing to help. We have excellent personal trainers, people wearing these red tops like this young man.
He's a young man.
the boy. And, you know, we're going to be developing something soon called a fit check, which will just be an opportunity to have different metrics of your fitness assessed and talked about within a little meeting, which is just going to be helpful. Those tools are there for our members, for them to have an excellent experience. On a business side, they're there for client retention. So if you have really happy members, they stay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have really well looked after members, they stay. And you don't have this turnover of membership. And what's really interesting about this gym, which again speaks to the fact that people like being here, is we have a really high percentage of gym memberships turning up.
Oh yeah.
So each day we average at the moment between, I don't know, 270 and 330 people through the door every day, and that's from around about a 900 member. You know, so it's a really high usage, and so that's something we're really happy about. You're gonna ask.
I was just gonna say, I bet your close to non-active members, people that might only come once a week or less, is less than 100 by far, I'd say.
Yeah.
And mainly born out of the things, the anxieties, the fact that they might be a new person to a gym, which is all these things that you're trying to cater to, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, once people have come in a few times, that's it. They're kind of hooked. And it's like, oh, I'll definitely come back. And then we can help people structure that into their lives. Because as you fellows know, the number one metric for success is consistency. So, you know, it's, yes, exercise selection is important. Yes, program design is important. But actually, fundamentally, it's not as important as turning up. And so, you know, you get people into that rhythm of turning up, and they start seeing results.
Doing great never is not as good as doing a little bit sometimes, more often.
Yeah,
is it?
Absolutely. And yeah, so we're really loving it. We're loving the fact that things like this have started now as well. Podcasts, again, it's just another amazing sort of addition to an already sort of like...
More traffic.
Yeah, more traffic. And just a bit of a buzz around this place. You know, there's just... It's an exciting place to be. It's a welcoming place to be. I'm thrilled. Because you don't know, do you? You open the doors and you think it's going to be a certain way, but until it's had a bit of time, you don't know. And so at the moment, we're loving it. And very soon, the outside gym is going to be pumping. So we're going to go and pick up some more equipment for that soon. So yeah, we have literally something for everybody. People who might think indoor gym is a bit noisy for them, crowded, get you sent outside.
It's actually a bit ridiculous how much stuff you have. Like, I've seen the almost the pinnacle of every athletic modality training here, like powerlifting, bodybuilding, strongman, weightlifting, CrossFit, sprinters, people that play in team sports like footballs and things like that. And then the entirely amateur kind of side of things, which is going really well, like your classes and the things like that, that people really enjoy, the baby stuff. It's ridiculous. And it's almost too much for two men to run on their own. Three, I should say.
Well, that's why you've got staff, isn't it, I guess?
Lots of staff.
That's why you're building a team and your plans to build.
Yeah, and Connor's the best team. Helping us with that. So, you know, we're going to be doing once a month training just for our staff. So, again, like, if we focus on our staff and make them excellent, they give an excellent service. Again, our members get a better experience and they're going to stay. And so, you know, we weed out the people who are not of the ethos of Station Gym staff-wise pretty quickly, because it can be a little bit intense if you're a member of staff here, which is me and Phil are so passionate.
Yes.
And we have a high expectancy of everybody with the best intention for them, which is we want our team to be successful. I want to build a team of personal trainers that have lifetime careers in personal training, if that's what they want, you know, is to give them the skills and the platform here to build something like that, which a lot of gyms aren't that helpful to their staff for.
Definitely.
Which is bizarre to me, because from a business point of view, it makes total sense to do that.
So much so. It's a rising tide and there's a snowball effect there, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Like, the better everything is, the better everything is, kind of thing. Like, it's just, it all feeds back into the same system.
Yeah.
So better everyone, better everything.
It's 100%, yeah. And you know, again, you have people like yourself, Connor, who sort of have been drawn into this place and want to help because you see that it's just a cool place to be, and obviously excellent friendships. But it's
with handsome
this is something that surprised me, is like, you know, what Connor's come and said, oh, I'd love to help out with some of the training of the staff, and others who've come alongside. Even towards the end of the build, there was just people turning up, wasn't there? Do you remember?
So many.
Just to come and help, and because they believed in this place and they wanted to see it succeed, which has just been amazing. And a massive answer to prayer, because we've been doing a lot of praying and saying, look, we need a lot of help, because, you know,
breaking things,
smashing up stuff. Genuinely, like, from when I said earlier about not being qualified for this, I think that's fair on a lot of points, in the sense that we aren't qualified to run a business like this, but the desire, passion and work ethic behind it is all there. And, you know, that's...
And the motive behind it, the reason that you...
Yeah, exactly. Motivation is
the most pure.
Key.
It's literally just to help the people.
Help the people.
And you're trying to help all the people.
Yeah.
In preferably all the ways.
Ah.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
As effectively and as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
This is why I'm here, because that's my game.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the same.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
You've helped me the same as well. Mm-hmm. You've helped me the same, because I came back here for many different reasons. Mm-hmm. One, because I love you guys and I want to help you guys be successful. And if you're doing something and you're there, of course I'm
winner,
in.
Winner.
Are we kidding? Of course I'm in. But also then helping you guys helps everybody help more people, which achieves my goal. But also I was having difficulty in my own life, and you've helped me, being here and you and you as well, both of you have helped me a lot through that as well. So it's not only me coming here to bring this place up, this place has also immediately brought me back up to where I was before, immediately. So thank you for that, I really do appreciate it.
Brilliant. I mean, that's music to our ears, you know, that's why we're here. And I think, you know, you are one of many stories. I could, you know, again, maybe in a different podcast, there are lots of stories already just within 7 weeks, you know, of people who have crippling social anxiety coming along and just, you know, and, you know, so this, obviously said we want to be a gym for everyone. That we've kind of nailed that age range wise. Socio and economically, we're still working on that. And then I would say sort of different stages of mental well-being, we're also working on that and different backgrounds. So it, what's cool is we're beginning to see all these pockets of people turn up. And we're doing it bit by bit. But yeah, I appreciate those words. I think it is just partly, I think, because of, like you say, the foundation of the morality that we wanted to build this place on, it kind of seeps out. It seeps out into the sort of...
Because it's real.
You can only lie about something for so long.
Exactly,
until people
are
just like, oh, that's who you are.
Yes.
And the good thing about you is you're not a dickhead.
No,
you're genuinely a good person who's... Thank you. Everything you've said now is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's just no point in lying, and
it
just doesn't last very long.
<Don't> last.
And we say this to our team, and we say this to our members, which is come and just talk to us and be honest with us.
Yes,
because it you get things changed quicker then when people are honest.
I was at the front desk a couple of days ago when a lady came up to Phil and asked about putting a class on at this time, and it was basically just yep, done. And then, you know, like there's practicalities to consider and whatnot, but. If it is possible, then it will happen kind of thing. So,
100%. Yeah. Well, I've been here for 90 minutes, boys.
How are you feeling?
You feel free to kick me out because I know you want to carry on with the rest of your episode.
No, I want you to join in on the rest of the episode because one of the reasons for the podcast is my goal anyways, I want to have the best conversations possible. I want to have interesting and curious and progressive and preferably entertaining and fun conversations. But I also want to put across as much excellent knowledge and help and support to people as possible. So we do also have a structure for the episode, and we would like to talk about, we had the idea of starting right at the beginning.
We're starting at the beginning with our podcast again, and so we were going to discuss people coming down to the gym, the psychology, the sociology and the science behind what they might have to do when they come down to the gym.
You mean literally physically turning up day one.
Physically turning up day one, right, I'm in the building, now what? Who do I talk to? How do I talk to them? How do I get over how I feel about all of these emotions? And how do I reverse engineer my goals into actionable day-to-day steps kind of thing? This is the rest of the podcast that we're going to talk about a bit today, along with whatever other crap we end up deviating and talking about, because that will happen.
Tangenting into
which you're absolutely welcome to join for, or you wish to be, or equally free to go.
I'll hang for another 5-10 minutes and
you
and
go
see
first
how we go.
Then.
Yeah,
you go first then. So let's.
What would you like me to start with?
I would like you to start with somebody. You get a message somehow. Maybe it's online or something like this. Maybe somebody calls the phone.
You've had quite a lot of emails, haven't you?
Emails, like, all right. Yeah, maybe somebody messages you social media. Maybe somebody calls up the gym, whatever they feel most comfortable doing. And they say, hey, Tom, I've never been down to a gym ever before in my life, but I'm looking for some health and fitness, let's say.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Yeah. And so our experience in this so far is we have a little bit of a system. So we have people who email with inquiries. That email gets answered normally with, why don't you come down and speak to us?
Okay.
And so an appointment will be made. What we find is if you make an appointment, you're more likely to turn up.
Yes, for sure.
And so, you know, they've already taken this first step and been in touch. So you know that they're already sort of beginning to action a desire that they have.
Yeah, unlike what's termed the readiness to change continuum.
Yes.
They've gotten pretty far along it where they're actually ready to do something about it because they've already taken the first action step, which is theoretically one of the hardest action steps to actually reach out and say, hey, excuse me, I need help.
Yeah. It's got easier because I think because of our very engaging social media, I think because people see us a lot online, they feel like they know us. So I think already there's a little bit of a barrier that's broken down for them to just send that DM. Or that email, because they're like, oh, these people seem friendly. I'll just drop them a message.
And how cool is it that that's the head of the snake? Mm-hmm. Like, and you always hear all three of you. And if they want to see something happen or just talk to someone at the top. They don't have to ask a ground soldier and have them funnel it up the ladder and then get a dismembered version of the question asked to whoever's in charge that no one ever sees, and then it funnels back down and gets broken up into a different kind of...
Yeah.
It's just not good. Whereas for you, it's someone's like, I want this to happen. I'm like, go talk to him. He's there now. He's stood over there and he wants to talk to you.
Yeah. And we, you know, what we want from our interactions, especially our early interactions with our members, is for whoever the staff member is, be it us or, you know, yourself, is for them to have responsibility for that person.
Mm.
So it's not to fob them off, like you're saying. It's just to be honest with them. And if you don't know something, you pass it on. But, yeah, I think mostly we've had people rock up. They kind of come in the cafe and they're like, oh,
I'm in a cafe.
I'm in a cafe. Yeah. This is nice. And I haven't walked straight into like a gym where I have to face all these people who I might find intimidating. You know, and then the way we've designed we've designed it specifically so that you don't have to feel that way. There's a space for you wherever you feel that would be.
Yeah, I like what you've done, where you come into the cafe and then you can go from the cafe to the changing rooms and then either to the spin room or the class area or to the more commercial style gym part of it without going into the bodybuilding and powerlifting area if you don't want to.
Exactly.
If you do, which you should, because it is for everybody still.
Yes.
It's not like bodybuilding and powerlifting equipment's not for bodybuilding and powerlifters. It's for people who want to be strong and toned and healthy, which kind of could be everybody or most people. But you can circumnavigate quite
100%.
It's smart.
Yeah, and you know, like we're saying, eventually we want people to feel like they can use any bit of the gym, but that's not necessarily realistic straight away. And so having some time just to kind of get used to being here is really important for a lot, especially if you've never been to a gym before. And not someone pressurizing you to, oh, you've got to go and do that. It's just, cool, can we help with anything? We'll take you here, we'll show you around this bit. And then you've kind of got the autonomy. What's cool is that our cardio kit gives someone the total opportunity to do escapism.
Oh,
so, you know, you can literally select a program where it takes you to somewhere else in the world and you're going for a walk through a forest and you don't necessarily feel like you're in a gym anymore. So for some people who are nervous of gyms, that's a really helpful tool.
They're so weirdly high resolution, them as
they
well.
They are.
It's better than my TV at home.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's excellent. And, you know, I think, back to the whole thing of like from ground zero up is because they've got in contact already, they've started the initiation of that communication. I think then what our experience has been is once people are in, you all right? Is it still going?
No, good. The camera went out of focus, so I was going to go.
Oh, you refocused
to it, but it just when I moved, it just did it on its
own. Technical difficulties on day one.
It won't make any difference anyway. Sorry.
So it only recognises you as a real person. It doesn't need to zoom into you.
Connor's a robot. We know this.
The nutrition robot.
You were halfway through saying something. You
yeah. No, yes. So, you know, once they're in the door, I don't really worry after that because I trust our team here. And I trust the way that we've set things up because it's already thought about that process of being a gym for everybody.
Everybody who works here is very friendly. Like the friendliness ratio is very high.
It's pretty high.
Like if you were to rank people on friendliness based on the staff, it's very high for
we have
every single person.
Excellent friendly people. So often you'll see, in the mornings, you'll see Jude on reception.
Jude's amazing. Shout out to Jude.
Super friendly, you know, and just and very much herself. That's the thing as well, is like you don't want just a pretend receptionist. Good morning, how are you, la da da. It's you know, because people see through that straight away. It's like just normal friendly people, and it's just nice. You rock up, you're like, oh hello Jude, you know, how's your day been? And if she hasn't had a good day, she'll probably tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel a bit rubbish today. Cool, that is being honest again, but they're still there, still looking to sort of welcome people in. So yeah, that's I guess a brief summary of how we're quite confident that people can feel integrated reasonably quick.
So the summary of the summary is just come down, try it. You're just going to like it. You're just going to realise it's just not as bad as you thought it was going to be at all.
Everyone here is a person that walks and breathes and eats the same things as you do and think the same way.
Emmanuel's food in the cafe.
Oh, Emmanuel's food in the cafe is all you should be eating.
I'm ruining this radiator behind. This is a health
ruining
hazard.
This podcast, Connor.
Sorry. Apologies.
Yeah. I'll give an example as well from when I've worked with people who've come in who've had real barriers to exercise. So worked with men who are on chemical castration, in essence, for testicular cancer. Mm. So you basically are stripped of all of your testosterone, which for a bloke is not a fun experience. You have no energy, your body starts to change, and in ways that can make you feel really self-conscious. Yeah. And probably the last place you want to be is a gym. Because your whole life, maybe you've just been used to being a normal bloke with a normal type bloke body, and you're happy, and all that starts to get eroded because of this TRT reduction. So I've worked with people who are in that category, and we worked on a study that helped break down barriers for getting them into the gym. And so, you know, we would literally start it with a phone call. Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Tom. I'm one of the trainers. I am a person that you will see when you come to the gym. Just that introduction on its own is a huge barrier gone. Would you like to meet me in the cafe for a coffee?
Not anybody, but you specifically, yes. The person you've already spoken to once before.
Exactly. And so now they know they're coming to meet Tom in the cafe for a coffee. And
they've got something to say when they walk in.
Yeah.
I've arrived. Like, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got the purpose for being there. No one's forcing them into the gym. It's just come in your normal clothes. We're just going to have a chat. If you feel like it, we might even have a look around the gym. So you've kind of already made it super easy for someone who was maybe really self-conscious, never exercised, is now dealing with an illness that could, you know, is reasonably, for some, very devastating to hear. And then your body's changing and your mood's changing and everything. So, you know, those are some of the biggest barriers that I've seen overcome. And it is literally overcome by those simple, small steps of a personal connection, making it really easy and not putting too much expectation on people straight away. Because like you fellas know, with any goal, you make it realistic and you start small and it becomes regular, it becomes a habit. And so, you know, with these guys, you want to show them around a little bit. Okay, next time, should we just go for a walk on a treadmill? Right, cool, that's all we're doing. So then again, they've got their expectations set. They know, I'm gonna come in, have another coffee with Tom, have a chat, and we're just gonna do a walk on a treadmill for 5 minutes.
And you're gonna show me how it works so that I don't have to stress about getting on and figuring out technology.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then often they would then start to take the lead, you know, after that 5 minutes, to be like, well, what does that do over there?
So
you know,
right.
What does that do over there?
So, right.
So yeah. What about your guys' experience with helping people come into the gym? Have you had anyone like that here, Will?
Yeah, good few people. I showed around a gentleman. We didn't discuss exactly his disability, but like physical, mainly in his lower body type stuff, like struggling to walk and that. And it was great. He was able to get up the stairs and we talked about helping him on things. Having trained disabled people in the past, I was very comfortable to, you know, not to address the elephant in the room kind of thing and be like, well, look, I don't understand your condition, but what machines would be good for you? Would you like for me to show them you? And he was a smashing bloke, really charming, and we got on nicely and he found himself immediately comfortable and was in the bodybuilding section doing his stuff. One of my clients that I got through you guys was coming initially up once a week and refused to come. Her husband was like making her, and then she came down and now she comes on her own like twice a week. She does 3 sessions a week with me now and loves it. And is trying to now get her like, it's like stepkids or something along those lines, to come and like have a play around and do things as well.
Have you asked them why they went from being uncomfortable, or in her case uncomfortable, to being comfortable?
Yeah, it is. It's the confidence and competency is what it really is. It's that this isn't an environment that she knows anything about, so she feels stupid by coming, and that's often the issue. It's like I feel similar when I walk into other gyms. Immediately, it doesn't even come from a competency issue. It just comes from a new environment issue. Mm. So there's that as well. It's a new environment, but you know, if I can't think of an example, but if I walk into for me, it's parties and things like that. Mm-hmm. If I walk into a house party, I don't understand this concept, and so I get very closed off and I don't want to go. Yeah. And if I knew how to party, and
I don't think either of us can help you with that.
I know. We've got all the tisms in this room at the minute that never went to any house parties. No, but if she now understands what she's doing in the gym, she understands her focus, her goals. We've reverse engineered things so that she knows when she comes in, she's walking along the treadmill for this much amount of time, and that's why she's doing it, not just because it looks safe to walk on the treadmill. She knows she's going to do push-ups and warm-up like this and then do that, and she knows why she's doing this. Mm. And now she comes with a purpose and a sense of self, and she knows what's happening, so she's just much more comfortable.
Yeah. So purpose was a massive word in there, isn't it?
Yeah, for real.
knowing why. We talked about this in that team meeting a little bit, didn't we? About knowing the why. And then having a something to do.
Yeah.
I can do this. I have done this. I know I can do that again.
It's been the same with me, like, building my online thing now. Like, I'm terrible with technology. We know this. And I had no clue how to go about this stuff. But from just kind of knowing what my end goal was, like, this is what I want as a system to set up, I was able to go, like, all right, cool, so I need to have some programs in the bank. I need to set up a payment system. I need to set up a communication system. I need it all to work flawlessly and it to be practical. And this, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, day one, I can focus on this. And then it's just like how any process of education works, isn't it? You know your goal, you start working on the competency, and then the more competent you get, the more confident you feel about even attempting it. Mm. Yeah. That's right. Basically for me. How about you, sir?
Yeah, that's my whole game, working with beginners. Mm. Despite being like an advanced nutritionist and advanced personal trainer, I really like working with beginners. I'm not really interested in getting somebody who's 95% and making them 98%. Mm. This is not very fulfilling for me, and it's not very changing of lives. Yep. I like getting somebody who's 0% and seeing how many percent I can get them. And 50 is better than 3, isn't it?
You know, and often, I mean? that 50 is the most life enhancing and saving.
And it can be the catalyst to get the other 30% afterwards, can't it?
Yes.
It can.
Well, you can't skip steps.
Mm. No.
You can't get to 80% without being 61st, really.
This is good chronology, yeah.
Your chronology. So, yeah, that's my whole game. I've always enjoyed that. And hopefully, despite always wearing tracksuits, like you pointed out last time, and being bald and having tattoos, I hope I come across as friendly.
You hoodlum. Look at you.
Literally a hoodlum.
A little gym.
I am from Rotherham at the end of the day, aren't I? I am from a council estate in Rotherham.
You're a scary man.
These are my beginnings.
You can see Rotherham from this room, from the inner.
Not today.
Not today, that we are enveloped in a cloud.
I'll tell you how long
we've
fanning around with these. Look at the place. We've just absolutely destroyed your room. And it shall be resurrected afterwards.
Fine.
Yes, of course.
We tried to show the view outside, but it's a whiteout on the camera. It's pure white. You can't see anything.
The trees in the front are looking real nice.
They're looking super.
Very picturesque.
It's quite magical, isn't it? It's quite magical. Yeah. So yeah, I love beginners. I always loved working with beginners in gyms. Hopefully I come across as friendly. I know I don't immediately sometimes look the most friendly, because when I used to work at the gym group, I remember once somebody was stood at the front desk thing right at the entrance, and they said, oh, I've come for an induction. And they said, oh, you've got that guy, and pointed at me, and they went, oh. Literally. And I thought, come on, I'm nice.
Yeah,
come on.
Friendly. I'm friendly.
Hopefully in personality, yes. So getting people from zero to much more advanced, I would say, is the most fulfilling for me. That's what I've always loved. I always love getting a beginner who's the least you've ever done, the more I want you to come work with me.
Yeah.
And now I don't work in a gym or do any personal training, but I do the same with nutrition. Mm. The further somebody is away from their goal, the more I want you to come talk to me about it.
Yeah.
The longer you think it's going to be, the less confidence you've got, the more I want you to come sit with me and we'll talk about it, because you're the person for me. The further you think you are down in the hole, and the least likelihood you've got of getting out of that hole, come talk to me about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got ladders and ropes.
I think something that the three of us understand almost equally and are equally good at is the, I don't know what exactly if it would be the sociology, the psychology of how people feel when they don't know what they're doing and they're far away from their goals, and how not to be a pushy PT that's just like, do this, but that it's more just like, all right, you've turned up, look at this. And then talking to the life that they lead and how to kind of adapt things to get to those places, as opposed to just be like, this is it, go. And like, if you don't have a strong mentality about it, figure your shit out, which isn't cool. It's more like understanding how to draw someone in.
Definitely.
Coax them in.
Yeah, definitely. And it's being talking to people like you would like someone to talk to you and educate you.
Mm.
It's a massive thing, isn't it? And that actually is a skill that needs to be learned over time.
Yes.
So learning how to read people, different personalities, and present things, you know, the biblical thing there is being all things to all men, is being able to sort of read a situation and adapt reasonably quickly for individual clients is key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like we know, yes, it is important to know what you're doing and to be able to give good instruction and make sure you're doing things safely. But actually, if you're doing that in a way that is abrasive in the communication for that person, they're just not going to listen, you know, and they're not going to absorb the things that you need, which is why in personal training, and we all say this, isn't it, is that there are some clients that just won't ever train with me,
mm-hmm.
because they're just not necessarily going to click with my personality type. And that's fantastic because they can go and train with another client, another PT, and that's cool. And so, yeah, that's hence the name personal training.
Yeah, it's personal training. Say. People buy from people.
It is the person you've chosen to be trained by.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think. Interesting question for you guys then. So, in terms of like, so maybe there's some people listening to this who don't go to the gym at all. What would you say, why would someone ever go to the gym in the first place? And why should they choose to go to a gym?
Marcus Aurelius once said that no man should grow old without truly seeing what his body is capable of. And I extend that to the ladies as well. We're in the modern era now and everyone can get big and strong. I think that's an important part of
it. Man being mankind.
Mankind, well said, sir. It inspires confidence as well as just actual good health to be in good nick. Whatever your specifics within that are, whether you want to be a runner or you want to be strong and powerful, it's good to have a good breadth of physicality to you. I think that's the first thing. And then, you know, you can expand that into more, into deeper things, like how that, the pleasure that that can give someone as well. Insurance as well for life kind of thing. It's a good insurance for life, isn't it, really?
Like, you mean quality and quantity of life or something like this, reducing like disease risk and improving health?
Or
do you mean literally like paying monthly for insurance? Like life insurance? Cause if you exercise, they'll give you a reduction. Won't they? Works both ways.
It does. Yeah.
It takes the people around you's premium down. You know you're going to be able to take care of yourself when you're older. I say to people in consultations quite a lot that their body is their vessel and that it can, and your mind is probably not going to deteriorate as fast as your body, and but it's trapped inside it, and it can either be trapped in a prison that absolutely disables them by the time they're 60, 70 and they can't get out of a chair, or it can be a liberty that lets them go and run with their grandkids and play around and do things like this right up until their brain gives up and then everything dies together, morbidly. And it's to say that, I think we've all used this analogy before, if you had one car for the rest of your life, you'd oil it and you'd put the right petrol in it and you'd make sure that you pump the tyres up every now and then, you don't crash it, you treat it nicely, don't you? It's things like this. That's an important part for me. I completely stole that answer. Do you want to input your stuff?
No, that was great. I was just enjoying listening. I think there's so your question was, why would somebody come to the gym in the first place?
Yeah.
You could look at this from a number of different ways. I think for everybody, it boils down to health and happiness. I think whatever somebody's goal really, whatever they think their goal is, like for me, most of my clients, it's weight loss. They come to me, they say, I want to lose weight. And yes, okay, on a surface level, maybe they do, but really they don't. Firstly, they don't want to lose weight. They just want the weight lost. This process of weight loss, they don't want to do that. They just want to be different. Why do they want to be different? It's because of some semblance of health and happiness improvement. They are somewhere or someone that they don't want to be anymore. And they would like to be either not fully somebody else, but in this one way, perhaps health and fitness or weight management or something like this, they would like to be different or feel different. So it always boils down to some sort of health and happiness improvement. And I am a believer that if anybody can exercise and they don't exercise, they are not as healthy and happy as they could be. Even if they are very healthy and happy, there's more to be had if you don't exercise, but you can. Not everybody can, I get it. But if you can and you're not, this is a mistake. Same as healthy eating. If you can eat healthy and you're not doing it, this is a mistake, because however good you think you feel, oh, I feel fine, do you? Because you could feel even more fine. You could feel finer. You could feel better, couldn't you? So I think it comes down to health and happiness. I think it comes down to self-improvement. I think this is a reason why gyms are much friendlier places than people assume they are. Like, I talk to a lot of people who never go to gyms. Like, I have weight loss clients, Nutrition Online. A lot of people come for Nutrition Online because they're not in a gym and they don't really want to go to the gym and they don't think they're a gym kind of person. And they say to me, but like, isn't everybody in a gym like a meathead? Or isn't everybody, somebody said, I'm sorry for swearing, but somebody said to me like literally a couple of days ago, a lady, but isn't everybody in a gym a dickhead? I thought, you're saying this to the gym guy. I'm the gym guy. Don't, come on, call me out to my face. I'm trying to be nice.
Well, it's, you know. And you often find with that, like, sure, there might be dickheads in gyms. Dickheads get everywhere. They're annoying like
that. It's the same breadth of people as at Tesco. Everybody exercises.
The people that have come to the gym that have walked the path that you're trying to walk and they're ahead of you, they're at the top of the mountain. And the biggest ones, the scariest ones, they've bled, they put sweat into it, they put tears into it, and they look at you and understand that you're at the start of this journey and want nothing more than to help you. They don't have any
desires to squish you. Or
it's because it's not a competition. And no. Everybody, my point was, everybody's there for self-improvement. It doesn't matter whether you're the biggest bodybuilder or the strongest powerlifter. Why do the strongest powerlifters come here downstairs and they're still like Ash Braunton, Sam Stanley? Why are they still down there doing overhead presses every day? Because they don't think they're good enough. Same as you don't think you're good enough. You might be on step one and they might be on step whatever on a different ladder. Yep. But everybody's just here trying to get better, and everybody here respects everybody else for trying to be a better version of themselves and turning up to a place that's, you have to put in some work. You can't skip steps. There's no buying your way to health and fitness. You can't pay for it, you know. Yep. Everybody's here to do the same work. And if I do a set of 10 and Will does a set of 10, let's say we do squats. I do 10 reps to failure. It's my hardest set. He does 10 reps to failure. He might do more weight than me, but we both worked as hard.
Yep.
A beginner comes in, they do body weight squats. They do chair squats, just straight off the chair. If on 9, you're like this, you know. And Will's got 100 on the bar for 9 or whatever. This is the same. You both worked, perceived level of exertion. Well, again, RPE, whatever you want to call it. Same, isn't it? Same.
Yeah,
so it's the same for all people. People are just trying
to... It's hard to make people believe that. Like, I struggle. It's one of the I don't know what you call it.
What you do, it's the way that you do it.
Is this today's jingle, sir?
Sorry, continue.
He's got tattooed across his chest.
I think he does have that
tattooed. That's what gets results.
A little slogan for the podcast. One of my infinite frustrations is trying to make people understand that I'm not just trying to say words to make them feel better, but that it's... Well, sometimes I'll do something and then they go to do it and they're like, you made that look so easy. It is my job to make this look easy. I have been trying to do nothing other than make this look easy.
If you make it look hard and you're a pro, that's an issue.
Do you know why you hired me? Because I make it look easy. Yeah. You have a different job. If I walked into your job and sat down and tried to do it, I'd be terrible at it. And you have to understand that you're at the start of this journey, and you've showed up on time and you've showed up willing to learn with your ears open, I'm a happy man. I don't care. I don't expect any kind of competency or conditioning or strength or coordination or fat loss or anything like this. When you walk in the gym, you've walked to the place to achieve all those things, and you've hired me because you don't have those things. So don't get upset when you don't.
So when they don't have it, we're not surprised.
Yeah. No, and they go, oh, I feel so, I don't understand. I'm like, I don't expect you to understand. We're learning now. Just
practice.
Chill out a little bit.
Absolutely.
This is it for me. This is the biggest thing.
And it's, I was going to say as well, here's not a curveball, but another reason why should people go to the gym is, I would say, societally, we move less.
Than
we ever have, because of jobs and the ways things have evolved, which actually has made some aspects of society a little bit sadder, because they've shown, haven't they, that societies that are more active tend to be a little bit happier.
Of course.
In general, because you know you're moving around a little bit more, you're outside maybe a little bit more. There's a little bit more purpose in your physical sort of attainment of different things.
The human body's also made to move. So if you're not moving it, you're not even really, you're not giving yourself the required, you're not hitting your human requirements.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be sedentary. It's kind of like stagnating.
Exactly. And you know, they've done studies, haven't they, where they've shown even just little things in the workplace, in offices, that make you stand up more, the productivity in those offices gets way better. In some of them, they're shown by screens going off, what is it, every 40 minutes or something? Screens will go off, and these people are then, I physically can't work now. I have to stand up, make a cup of tea, talk to somebody. Their productivity goes up by 40%. Yeah. And you know, it's very minor in terms of an adjustment, but it's just making you that little bit more physically active. And so again, I would say if you've never been to the gym and maybe you haven't got a quote unquote goal that you can necessarily drum up straight away, I would say, come anyway.
Just being active.
Honestly, when you just start being more active, the way it makes you feel, the energy levels, that your sleep gets better, you might even start to, like you're saying, you might even start to eat a little bit better as a result of that. And suddenly you're now more productive in your workplace. You might end up getting that promotion that you've been after.
Or,
you know, these things doesn't always work like that. You know, we're not saying it's just the perfect way to do things, but it's a great step that you can actually make yourself. You can choose to make a difference in your own life by doing something active.
Yeah, I love a Greek philosophy called eudaimonia, which means the good life. And they say there's four pillars to the good life. There's health, wealth, fulfillment, and love. It's actually love and then fulfillment. I got those two wrong way around. And health's the first one on purpose, because that's the foundation, because without health, you can't do the others. And that's the only one that you have sovereign solo control over. Like, wealth's not about being rich, but it's about being stable enough to help yourself and be calm and then hopefully help others. It's not like, oh, everybody needs to be a millionaire kind of game. But if you're not healthy, then it's very difficult to do that. And if you want wealth, you also have to rely on other people, because either you need clients or you need a manager or a boss or somebody needs to pay you something somehow. Same with fulfillment. That comes from your place in society, but that also relies on other people. Love also relies on other people as well, because it's about loving others and them loving you as well. And these are great things, but you need to start on the foundation of the self. And you can start on your own health and fitness. I also saw some studies from the guy whose name I forget, but he's one of the lead researchers at Harvard, and he's now in charge of the longest running happiness study ever in history. It's been going since like 1960 nonstop. And they found the two factors that made people happiest when studied across thousands of people were, number one, physical health, number two, social relationships.
And what do you get in a gym?
Guess what we do here. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Physical health, number one. Social relationships, number two. These are the two biggest factors 100%. For happiness.
100%. And what COVID did is it killed both.
Yeah.
It made people even more sedentary, scared to be around other people as well, so less socially active. And, you know, what's interesting is I have observed in teenagers who are coming here, 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, are struggling a bit socially.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And they're in some of the prime of their sort of adult life, have been forced to be non-social.
When they're trying to push and stretch their social boundaries, they've been restricted of anything
15,
social.
When you're 16, 17, you're kind of transitioning from being a kid to an adult. And that's a hard social transition to make. There's different rules here, and that's why I love having these guys in, because they're going to come and have to talk to grown-ups. They're not just online to other young people. There's lots of a spectrum of ages here that you're going to have to interact with. And so it's been great seeing some of the young guys training in the gym and some of the older fellas just talking to them. How's your day been? What exercise are you doing? Like, just simple things. And you can kind of see they're a bit like, ooh, a grown-up's talking to me. But then they enjoy it, and they get used to it. And so we're building that social health as well, which is the secondary pillar, as you were saying, in terms of...
It is, isn't it?
Physical.
And it hits with your four pillars of what you're trying to do for people here at the gym. Physical health, mental health, social health, spiritual health. It's a thing, isn't it? I was talking to an American football player in the gym here literally just this morning, an Irish guy from Dublin. I've forgotten his name because I only just met this guy, so I apologise for that. But he was saying that Sheffield in general is noticeably friendly, and then this gym is even more noticeably friendly within the friendly area, which is really nice, isn't it? Which is really nice. You asked a slightly different question. I thought when you asked me, you said, why would people come to the gym? When you said, why should people come to the gym or something like that, and you said people should just do it even if they don't have a goal, I think that's a fantastic thing. I completely agree.
But what the why do, you guys answered wonderfully. And so I kind of extra threw the curve.
I love that. I just had an extra little point that I think another thing that it does is it makes you a stronger person, not only physically but mentally. Because a lot of people think, oh, I don't like going to the gym. Do you want to know the truth? I also don't like going to the gym. How many days do you think I wake up and I think, do you know what I'd like to do? Press something above my head until I nearly can't hold it anymore, and then I'm going to be sweating, I have to walk home, and I'm going to be tired, and then I'll be sore tomorrow. And I'm also so busy, you know, that literally, like, do I have time for this? I'm not like, yay, let's exercise every single day. But
I am.
Maybe you are. No, I know.
Some people who turn up to classes are like that, though.
Some people are, but it's the minority. Even most professional athletes are not like that. Ask a pro athlete, do you like getting up at 5 a.m. and running the track?
No.
Is that your favourite thing? They're going to say no. They don't like training. Do you know what they like? Winning.
The results.
They like winning. That's the game. Yeah, that's the game. So doing something that you don't necessarily want to do that pushes you out of your comfort zone, where you do meet more people, and then you do get... This is why people feel so amped up and good after they leave the gym, don't they? They're like, oh, I feel amazing after doing that. Why? Progress. Because you did the damn thing.
That's
why you got up. You did the thing that you thought you couldn't do, that you said you wouldn't do, that you didn't do before. Now you've done it, and you're moving forward, and you've taken positive steps. And if you've taken one, you know you can do another. Now your self-confidence is building. Now you're getting up every day and doing it all three times a week, and doing something that you didn't used to do, that you don't necessarily want to do. And when you can do hard things, when doing hard things becomes easy, then doing everything becomes easy.
100%.
Then you're just a stronger person. You're more resilient. You can handle more in life. I've learned this because my goals have been like muscle building and fitness and just health in general and stuff like this. And I've really struggled throughout my whole life to build on it. It's taken me 15 years to get anywhere decent, you know, but just doing it over and over again and that consistency and coming in day after day and knowing that, okay, you do one session today in the gym, you don't suddenly get results. It's an accumulation over time, isn't it? It's again, one rep, another rep, another rep, another rep. And it seems like a small thing at first. Oh, I just go to the gym. Do you though? Because it really, it can change you in a lot more ways than you'd expect. Something just so basic.
Like you were saying as well, the societal immediate gratification that you just get from everything now, chemically, from scrolling on social media, whatever it is, everything's just designed to be that immediacy. Whereas coming to the gym and seeing no results for 4 weeks and just having to stick to the plan before you see anything, the mental fortitude that gives you is really legit and it's very transferable to everything else.
You'll be a physically and mentally stronger person.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I used to have a little sort of mindset of do something in training that's harder than I need to do in real life.
This is what most athletes do, isn't it? Yeah, prepare harder.
Yep.
Yeah, then you actually have to perform. You
know, when I was a plumber, that was the ethos, was if I work harder in exercise and in the gym and I'm stronger doing harder things than I do in my job, I'm less likely to get injured in my workplace. Mm. That was a real fact, you know? And then when competing in like a Spartan event that I used to do. So in the gym, I know these Spartan events are really mentally tough if you're pushing yourself. What can I do in the gym that's even more mentally tough than that? And would give myself horrible things to do in the gym that I just didn't want to do, but I knew it was going to build mental fortitude so that when I'm actually competing, oh, this is easier than what I did in the gym. And it just helps that with that mental resilience.
It makes you more resilient, doesn't it? Yeah, because if you're constantly dealing with this adversity, if you're putting yourself through the fire, when the fire comes that you haven't chosen yourself, you're ready, aren't you? You're weathered by it. You're prepared for it. You've been training for this, whether it's physical or metaphorical fire, I agree.
And I think that, like I was saying, that translates to athletes, but it really, really genuinely does translate right down to people who've never been to the gym before. It starts almost straight away, that building.
The
that
reaching out, sending you an email or calling or walking in the step door. That's step one. That might even be the hardest one for some people. But after you've got past that one, that's a big step to even start with. All the other steps are smaller and easier than that one once you've begun.
It's rewarding,
As we were talking on the episode just before, when, like, I can attest to that, and you've seen it in me, like, with that lockdown stuff, 2-year period, of just going down a darker and darker and deeper rabbit hole of doing less and less, getting up at 12, having breakfast at 5 p.m, and it was pizza, cold from the night before, not eating, not sleeping, drinking, and the snowball effect starts to happen. Of I'm not giving myself any adversity. I'm spending 8 hours a day on my phone, just numbing myself. And then when I tried going back to work, which wasn't initially with you guys, but with other people, I physically couldn't do it. I would get to about 2 o'clock and just be staggering around, passing out. I could only do it 3 days a week, mentally as well as physically. And then just kind of sticking that out and slowly climbing that ladder back up to the top again and getting to the point where you have to do something. Well, like now I work 6 days a week and I don't feel like I do enough. And I'm trying to do two different businesses at once, one online and one in person, a podcast, all this socializing, all these things that we're talking about. You're socializing, you're doing long-term gratification, you're putting your body through turmoil every day that in releases the chemicals that we need to feel these things. And you can just see the night and day difference that's just a year apart, basically. It's very interesting.
And there's something of the choices that you've made there to push you towards that goal, but also the help that you asked for. Because actually, this is why we're personal trainers, isn't it, or have been, is that if people ask us for help, guess what? You get to your goal much, much quicker because you're asking somebody who can help you.
Delegation.
Exactly. And so, you know, like I would say for yourself, you not only did you start to make choices to improve your life, you also were willing to take help and say, actually, I would like to learn that, or I would like to go, you know, and just taking advice from other people who you know have got your best interests at heart and are also willing to stick around and see it happen.
And then you become a chain, a link in the chain, a cog in the mechanism of life on a much broader and philosophical scale, which means that one day I help the next guy, which is a really exciting concept.
100%.
Like, yeah, you hit bottom, someone reaches down and pulls you up and dusts you off and gives you the tools you need, and then they say, I don't ask for anything in return, just help the next person.
Pass it on.
I think that's a good place to end here.
Shills.
Sounds good.
That's good. Are we ending?
You
did ending
keep me here for the whole podcast.
I knew we would. We said this yesterday.
Just you know, I like minutes. Talking.
We knew you would.
I'm a gasser.
You got so. Shit to say, haven't you?
We love you.
Try to.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. Yeah, we do appreciate it greatly. We will be having you back on as soon as it's convenient for you.
Look forward to future episodes. I want to talk about
things. Is there anything you'd like to say, plug, or do before we finish?
No. I think just keep watching the podcast if you are watching it, because these fellows are wonderful.
Thank you.
And you'll have much education on route.
Very stoic of you.
Hopefully entertainment as well. Hey? Infotainment.
Infotainment,
information,
yeah.
And education. And tomfoolery. I've got the information, you're the entertainment.
Let's go.
That's the new world.
Yeah, this is it. This is it, baby. All right, people. Thank you for listening and watching wherever you did. And we'll see you all next time. Take care.